Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of Acts.
Chapter number 20 is where we're going to be starting at, the book of Acts, chapter number 20. As I had mentioned already a few times, that we have kind of landed where all the different series that are going to go on, and we're going to start an Old Testament of the book of the Bible in Sunday school. We're going to continue on through the Gospel of Mark Sunday morning, Sunday night. We're going to talk about the Overcomer series. And on Wednesday nights, we're going to talk about this thought about being blessed and or blessed. And we've discussed it a little bit already, but for just a reminder's sake, I won't talk about it every single week and the idea of the three parts of it. The idea of being blessed with all the different things we have and all the spiritual blessings, all the physical blessings, that's one thought of the word blessed. Also, happy is, or blessed is the man, as it talks about in Psalms chapter number 1, talking about what truly will bring happiness in your life is if you do this. And then last but not least, the third main thought for the year is a life that God can bless. A life that God looks at and say, that's someone, that's something I can take and bless. Because we know he cannot bless sin. And there are specific things all throughout the Bible that God says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the peacemaker. Blessed is this. Blessed is that. And that's where we want to be at. That's where I want to be as an individual. That's what I want as my church. That's what I want as my family. I want it to be something at a life that God can look at and a life that God can bless. And there are certain things that God earmarks in his word and specifically says, if you do this, this is the type of thing that I can bless. Last week we looked at that and talked about how the world has some things backwards. And last week we talked about the service and the type of service that God offers or the type of service that God can bless. And we talked about how Jesus went and washed the disciples' feet. And he says, happy are ye if you do this. And that's amazing. And most people would say, hey, the person that's getting their foot washed, that's the person that's going to be happy. Or the person who actually is getting waited upon, that's the person that's going to find the true joy. And the Bible says, hey, you have that all backwards. If you'll learn to serve the Lord out of compassion and with love and with a pure heart, you know what? When we serve someone, we're going to find great joy in that. Tonight's another thing that is sometimes switched around, and that's what we're going to look at tonight is giving. The Bible says in Acts 20, verse 35, and you can read it along there with me. He says, Acts 20, verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you all to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I know that most of us, and I know our church, I know it's a giving church. I'm excited about how much the Lord lets us help missionaries at with the size of our church and how much we give and how financially the church has been, seems like strong for a number of years. So it's not a message where I'm trying to cause people to say, hey, you need to give more. You know, I've always said, it's only, you know, do whatever the Lord wants you to do. Let the Lord lead you in your giving. Don't make it an emotional decision. Make it as a decision. Let God affect your heart about things, but let God lead and direct you in your giving. So you don't, as a pastor, you know, it talks about giving in the Bible. We come across it when we talk about it. It's not something I harp on. But at the same time, it's found in the Bible. Jesus talks about it. It's all mentioned all throughout the book of Proverbs. And here is something, it's kind of interesting how it's recorded here that you see that Luke, who's writing this, is writing this, and he is speaking about something that the Lord had said, but is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible where it is said. So he is saying, hey, and this is Paul that actually is speaking here, and Paul is saying this is something that Jesus is well known for saying, even though it's not recorded anywhere in the Gospels. Well, so how can you know it's true? Well, in John chapter 21, it says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So what the Bible's saying there in John chapter 21, it says, if everything was recorded that Jesus did, every miracle, every lesson, everything that he had ever done, you could not record all the amazing things with all the books that are in all the world. Excuse me. Which is an interesting thought. So when we come to Paul here, we see this, and he's giving a message to a group of pastors in Ephesus. And for a few moments, we're going to actually go through the chapter. Our main thought about it is more blessed to give than to receive. The Bible says you will be happier and you will be in a spot where God can use you in a greater way when you get this, when you get this thought. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, if you try to tell that to a young person or a child around Christmas, they will think you're crazy. And even if you go out there into the world and tell the world, hey, look, it's better for you to give than it is better to get, most of the world would say, no, that's not right. I like getting more than I like giving. And I got to be honest with you, in my life, there has been times where my heart wasn't exactly right when it came to giving, where I didn't understand this. But as I allow God to work in my heart and how I allow God to work in my life, there is so much joy that comes from giving. There is so much joy that comes from giving to others and giving to the Lord. And the Lord, and I truly believe this, and I have experienced this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, also you got to remember, it's not saying that it's wrong to receive. I've received many times, and it's been a great blessing also. But to see God connect the dots, to God to speak to your heart about taking on and helping someone else and to give of yourself or to give of your resources to be a blessing to someone else and see how God uses that to be an encouragement and a help to that person, there isn't many greater feelings in the world. You truly are supremely blessed when you get this thought. It's not mine anyway. It's the Lord's. It is better to give. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So with all that being said, let's look at this passage for a little while, and then let's consider Paul's example about his giving, and then let's consider some other people's example when they're giving. And we're going to move kind of quickly because of the fact that I want you to get the impression of what's going on here and then see how Paul closes it all out. To help you understand, in Acts chapter 20, he is talking to a group of pastors. This is a group of pastors that he had spent time with. Many of these men are men that he had won to Christ, he had discipled, he had helped set up churches. And Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, does not know if he's going to return. He knows he's probably never, ever going to see these men ever again. He loves these men. He spent night and day with these men. He spent night and day working with these men, preaching with these men, even says weeping with these men. So he's there, and he's calling this group, and he says, look, I'm going to be at the seashore here. Why don't you guys come all the way out so we can talk for a little while? And this group of men come, and they come all the way out to see what Paul has to say. And we can imagine that if Paul is saying this is something that's really important, because he believes, as you're going to see in the scriptures, he's never going to see these men ever again. Once again, he loves these men. He loves the Lord. He's been through so much with these men already, and he's there, and he's teaching them. And the last thing he says to them in his message is more blessed to give than to receive. And wow, that's just a powerful emphasis that's just nailed home at the end. Many times when you're speaking, especially as when you're preaching, and is when you give an illustration at the beginning to try to draw people in and show their interest, and at the end you try to conclude it with something that's going to help draw their decision. And when Paul goes through all the things here, he comes to the end of the message and he says, it is more blessed to give than receive. Let's go to the beginning of the message in verse number 20. And we'll actually go in verse number 18. And we'll start there. Like I said, I'm just going to give you a commentary because that's a lot of verses and we want to talk about a lot by giving. But I want you to hear this message. I want you to hear the Apostle Paul. Paul's not out after anyone's money. He's not out there to try to impress these men about going and doing this for themselves or that for themselves or to build Paul's name or build anyone else's name. His heart is to love these men and to demonstrate to them the truth and says, this is what's going to make you happy. This is what's truly going to bless you in your life. Let's look here at verse 18. And it says, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know that the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Now, I believe he spent about 3 years with these men in Ephesus. And he's saying, since day one, when I came in, he says, you know I've been with you. He says, I've been with you after all manner of seasons. I think he can be referring to winter, spring, summer, and fall, or he can be referring when times were great and times were lean, when we saw the church exploding and when we faced persecution. He says, I've been with you. You've seen me since day one. Look at the response. And once again, some people would read this and say, well, this man is egotistical. This man is just prideful. No, he is saying to them, and then once again, this is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is not a lie. This is not someone puffing himself up. This is him saying, you know me. Now, you can trust what I'm saying. You've seen me through all these seasons. You've seen me since day one. And it says in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying of the way of the Jews. He says, I've been humble with you. He says, I've been through much with you that brought tears. I faced many trials and temptations, talking about those that would lie in wait just watching him to try to capture him at his words or figure out ways to bring his name to his shame to his name. Then he says, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. He says, look, I haven't kept anything from you. He says, I've showed you the whole doctrine of God. He says, I've done it publicly and I've done it privately. He says, I've done everything I can. He says, that's why I want you to pay attention and listen here. He says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He was saying, hey, I didn't just speak to the Jews. I didn't just speak to the Greeks. I didn't just come for a certain group. He says, it's everyone's encompassed here. And the message was not something that was watered down. It was repentance. It was turning to God and faith in Jesus Christ. So true salvation is. Then it continues on in verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He says, I'm headed to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen to me there, except it says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me, saying that I know that there's could be trouble coming. Verse 24 is what I would consider my life verse or theme verse, because there's so much in it. But none of these things move me. He says, the tears don't move me, the temptations don't move me, the people treating me bad don't move me. He says, the fact that I've done this over and over for this period of time, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. He says, when it comes to the work of the Lord, I don't count my life dear unto myself. And the reason why I don't consider myself so highly is so that I might finish my course with joy. And he says, look, I want to finish the course that God's given me, and I don't want to just do it miserably. I want to do it with joy. And at the end, he says, it's more blessed to give than receive. If you can learn to be a giving person, you're going to learn to be a person that is happy and a person that's supremely blessed. And he says, and the ministry, which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So he's saying, I want to finish this. I got an important ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He says, yes, I want to get there. I want to do it. And says, now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. So at this point in time, as he's saying this, he has already given the reason. These are the reasons why I want you to listen to me. You know I've been true. You know I've been faithful. You know I've wept with you. I've been through so many temptations. You can trust what I'm saying. And he's saying, I know I'm never going to ever see you again. Once again, I'm sure that breaks their heart. And so that's why this message is so important to them. And he says in verse 26, he says, wherefore I take you to this record this day that I am the pure from the blood of all men. He has a clear conscience in the way he served and worked with them. I wonder if we can have a clear conscience. I wonder how many of us can say, I have a clear conscience with that person and with that person. I'm free from the blood of all men and the idea I have given the gospel out when I know I'm supposed to. But when we work with other people, sometimes we look at relationships and we're like, now my relationship there isn't right. I can't say that I've served the Lord with a clear conscience with that individual. He can say here, he's saying, look, I'm innocent, I'm free, my conscience is right, I've treated people right, I've dealt with them right. It says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore, and he says, I've done this. He says, now he's speaking to preachers, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit have made you overseers. So he's speaking to the preachers here. He says, look, God has given you a flock, people. He says, you're supposed to be the overseer to feed the church of God. The responsibility, the first responsibility is to feed the church of God when it comes to that being an overseer, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves, he says, I know this is going to happen. People are going to attack the church. Grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And these grievous wolves, people that want to attack the church, they're not going to care at all. They're going to harm whoever, just as a wolf is going to take on whichever one's easiest to kill. And it says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. He says, men, remember this. Listen to this. He says, there's going to be people that come in from the outside trying to come in and destroy the church. He says, and unfortunately, there's going to be people coming in from the inside sometimes, and they get their heart wrong, and maybe they've never was truly a born-again believer, and they rise up, and they try to get people to follow men instead of following the Lord. And then he continues on, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now think about that. He's saying he preached to them with tears, whether at their house or publicly, night and day. Can you imagine sermons night and day? And it says with tears, passionately. He gave his life there to them. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. And this word commend gives the idea I entrust you to God. I commit you to his service, commit you to his charge. He says, brother, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He says, his word, he's going to take care of you. He's going to be able to build you up. And then he says in verse 33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And I have showed you all the things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing tonight on the reading of his word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this great passage of scripture. Thank you for letting us see Paul's heart as he knows that he's never going to see these men again. I believe he knows he's going to give up his life at some point in time for the cause of Christ. He knows that he's going to be bound, and he knows that there's affliction coming, and he has an important message to give. And he leaves this last thought, is more blessed to give than to receive. Help us to understand that true happiness and true joy, the true blessings of God on our life, comes from what different than what the world offers. Many would say, if I get served, I'll be happy. Last week we learned that truly serving others will bring happiness. This week many would say, if I'm the one receiving, if I'm the one getting, if I'm the one that has everything that I need or everything I've ever wanted, that's going to bring happiness. But Lord, in your word, it's recorded that you said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Help us to see and understand. Help us not be willing to just give when it comes to our possessions, but to give ourselves. And Lord, as when you have our heart, you'll have all of us. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I see this passage, and there's so much in there. We could spend weeks going through it, and we probably have spent weeks going through it before in the past. It's a great sermon, a great message, but we never spent a whole message on is more blessed to give than received. Now, I want you to think about Paul's example. If we're gonna have an outline tonight, it would be consider Paul's example. And when you consider Paul's example, I want you to consider his contentment here. I enjoy verse 33 when he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. And this is the point, is saying this was not his motivation. Now, there are preachers out there nowadays, the Bible tells them not to be men of filthy lucre, that they're out there for the money. You'll see sometimes people on TV out there saying, hey, send in this money or send in this money and I'll pray for you, or send in this and I'll send this cloth and all those things. I remember I had a young man that was a teenager, a young teen that was inside our youth group for a little while, and he told me that, he says, I want to be a preacher when I grow up. And I thought that was great. And I thought he was called by God and God was working on his heart. And he says, I want to be a preacher when I grow up so I can be rich like you. And I guess kind of chuckled. I says, you know, God is the one that's supposed to call you. You can't call yourself. And I said, and I'm not rich. I'm not wealthy. Now, this young man grew up in the projects. He didn't have much. He didn't have hardly anything. And he saw people come to church, and he saw that they were dressed nice and that people were kind and generous to him. But he says, hey, I want to be a preacher, because he sees sometimes, and he's heard, and he sees those guys on TV, and sometimes they fly the jets and they own the jets and they do all these different things. Paul is saying to them, this group here, he says, I want you to understand something. Before I tell you it's more blessed to give than to receive, I want you to remember this. I wasn't coveting after other things. Paul would have been, and think about Paul with the different ministry he had, he would have been all types of places. He would have seen all types of things. And God uses, I don't know what's going on with that, but I'm sure it's something I'm doing wrong. But God sometimes uses people that are wealthy. He does. You know, we think about Barnabas selling land to give it to where the widows. God sometimes uses those like the widow's mite that doesn't have a lot. Paul would have seen both extremes. He had been in king's palaces. He had watched as Agrippa came and he was dressed in all that royal things. He would have seen those things. And he says, look, none of that stuff affects me. He said, that is not things that is causing me to covet. Guess because someone's dressed nicer, because somebody has silver, somebody has gold. He says, those things don't affect me. He was somebody that was content. And if we're going to truly be blessed because we give more than we receive, that we're more blessed that way, we have to learn how to be content. Even in Philippians, we looked at, not that I speak in respect of wants, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So he's saying, when I tell you it's more blessed to give than receive, he says, I'm not asking for an offering. I'm not saying, hey, do that so that way my paycheck will be bigger. He says, those things don't move me. He's learned something in his life, and he's shown this by the example that I've learned something. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And then consider, he wasn't in it for the money. He wasn't in it for financial rewards. He wasn't in it for gains. He truly understood what it meant that the Lord said, let your conversation, your way of life, be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for ye have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Paul was content with the fact that God said, I'm going to be with you all the time. I'll provide you whatever you need. He says, and just learn to be content. First, now don't get me wrong. And some people would take this passage of scripture, and some people who maybe doesn't like preachers or don't like churches, and they say, well, a pastor's always out for money, or they're always, that's all they ever ask for. Paul does instruct the church to take care of the pastor. And Paul does give those instructions. He says, let the elders that rule well be accounted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So I'm not saying that, hey, then that you should never want to take care of the men of God. You know, when missionaries come, evangelists come, you guys have always been kind and always been generous, and no one's ever had to goad you to do that. You let the Lord speak to your heart to that, and I think that's a blessing and encouragement. But what he's saying here is, hey, if I was rich or if I was poor, one thing didn't make me happier. If it was something that it was bountiful, or if it was sometimes slim pickings, he says, one would not cause me to be greedy of the other. And that's a hard thing to do. Not only do you think about this, think about his practice of commitment, but think about his practice of giving. Look what it says in verse 34. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with him. So this gives the idea here that he was there and he was ministering. He labored. Now, Apostle Paul, like I said, the laborer is worthy of his labor. And so many times churches took care of the pastors. Even back then, they would take care of the pastors. And Paul, many times when he went to a spot, instead of putting his necessity, his needs on the church on purpose, he would go out and make tents. And as he went out and make tents, he would provide for himself and provide for the necessity of the people that with him, because he didn't want to put it on the church, because he didn't want to have somebody say, hey, you owe me. I made you, Paul, and I did this and that. Now, that is not a necessity to do that, but Paul wanted to live completely above board, and he wanted to make sure that everyone knew this. Now, you say, well, why doesn't everybody do that? Well, you got to remember, when Paul is making tents, he's not ministering. And I know that people, when I've heard Pastor Sexton say, he says, you can't pay me to pastor a church. He says, but what you can do is you can take care of my needs so I can spend time pastoring the church. He says he does it for the Lord. I guess I'm just going to use this mic here, if that's okay, gentlemen. And so when we come to this spot in this moment, you see his labor. Though Paul was an apostle, although he was appointed by God, he was willingly to engage in physical labor to support his mission work, to take care of himself, to take care of those that were with me, says in verse 34. 1 Corinthians, he explained it this way. If others be partaker of this power over you, are not we rather?
Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And the church of Corinth was a little bit rough to Paul. They didn't appreciate Paul. They, 2 Corinthians, it seems like he's over and over defending himself, defending his apostleship, defending it. He loves the people, but they're saying, hey, they're saying, Paul's a burden to us. And Apostle Paul's not a burden. He's someone who's preaching and teaching the word, and sometimes when people preach and teach the word, they don't like what's being said, so they begin to say, hey, that person's a burden. They don't look at things from the proper perspective. But here, Paul's saying, just to make sure, he says, you know that with my own hands I took care of myself and I took care of those that were with me. So that was good. He should have done that. Okay. But he doesn't just stop there. Look at how he supported the weak also. Look what it says, yea, in verse 35. And he says, I have showed you all things. He says, you've seen all that I've done. How that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And I thought this was interesting. He goes to this church. He's trying to be a blessing. He is starting these churches. He's winning these people to the Lord. He's discipling these churches. He's doing all these churches. I can imagine if they truly understand it's more blessed to give than to receive, that these people would have been more than willing to help with helping provide for Paul's needs and the needs of those that were with him. But he doesn't just provide for Paul's needs and those that are with him. Look, he provides for the people that are the weak also. And to me, that's like, wow. Paul could have even been just saying, hey, look, why don't you help me out with my needs so I can minister more to the church? He doesn't do that. And he doesn't, from the sounds of it, he takes care of those that are with him so they can minister. But he doesn't just stop there. He sees people inside the church. He sees people that are weak and those that are in need. And this is a principle, especially back in the early church, where they would help take care of widow ladies that were in need. And they would help take care of others. And there's much that's said about widows and fatherless in the Bible. And talking about how those are people that the Lord will defend and the Lord will provide for. And he uses the church to do that. So I think it's amazing. You see Paul's example here. He's saying, hey, I was willing to work with my own hand. I was willing to do all those things. But he didn't just support himself, which was even above board. He says, I also supported the weak. And I want to encourage you. And he comes in. He says to them, and he says, I've learned this. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining that you didn't provide for me. I'm not complaining you didn't give me this or take care of Timothy or didn't take care of Luke or didn't take care of these people. I'm not. He says, I want you to remember this. This is something I learned. I've showed this to you. It's more blessed to give than to receive. He learned that, and he says, learn that from my example there. He finishes his message to a group of men that are pastoring churches that he helped start. And he says, this is what I want you to remember. You can't outgive God. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So not only is Paul an example here, let's consider some other people's examples. If you're able to, go ahead and take your Bible to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. If you consider some others' examples, we'll start with God's love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God's love, because of God's love, he gave. This evening, if you're here and do not know Christ as your personal Savior, God loves you. We're all sinners. We're all in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ came to this world to die for the sins of mankind. He died on that cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again to pay our sin debt. Because of love, God gave. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God was willing to give the most precious, wouldn't you think he'd be able to provide those things that were not as precious to him? The answer is yes. Here in Luke chapter 21, we have the story of the widow's mite. It says in Luke chapter 21, it says, and he looked up and saw the rich man. This is Jesus watching, teach a lesson here. And he looked up and saw all the rich men casting in their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast in their offerings of God, but she of her penury have cast in all the living that she had. And it's just an amazing thought that he uses as an example to teach to these disciples. He says to them, look, this is a person who's not just giving because of the fact they can look at it and say, oh, I can give this much and not hurt me. This is a person out of a heart is willing to give everything they have, that's what they believe that God wants them to do. Another passage that's famous is found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. If you want to take your passage, the Bible there, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we had the Church of Macedonia. These churches of Macedonia kind of dismiss anybody's issues. Well, I don't, you know, when it comes to giving. Once again, these are extreme examples. Paul's giving, the widow's giving, the Macedonians giving. It's extreme examples of how God is able to bless someone with their giving. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 is a famous passage of Scripture when it comes to grace giving. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia." Now look at this. "How that in a great trial affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." He says, even though they were going through great affliction and did not have anything, it was with great joy, even though they were in poverty, they gave liberally. He says, "For their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they willingly of themselves." They gave willingly of themselves. "Praying us with much entreaty." And I can see Paul coming to collect this gift. And it's a gift for the church in Jerusalem. They're struggling. And this Macedonian says, "Man, we want to give. We want to be a help. We want to be a blessing." And they do this. And they come and they try to give this gift to Paul. And Paul, I can imagine Paul or whoever was picking him, "Oh, no, you can't give this much. You have needs. Look at the needs you have. Look at your church. Look at the people that are here. There's people that..." And they're like, "No, I want to give. I desire to give. God's put it on my heart to give. God will take care of me." They learned something, and they learned it from Paul, and they learned it from the Scriptures. They learned it from what Jesus says. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Look what it says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of to the saints. They said there was someone that was in need, and they said, "We wanted to help." Who gives that type of way? It says it in verse number 5. "And this they did, not as we hope," but look at this next phrase. "But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." That's the key right there. They gave themselves over to the Lord. We sit and say, have you given yourself to Him? I'm not telling you to do anything outside the box. I'm not telling you to do anything that God doesn't want you to do. My desire has always been, give yourself over to the Lord. Don't be selfish with yourself. Don't be selfish with your things. Don't harbor the bitterness in your heart, because that robs away God's blessing. Don't allow these things to close you up and put you in some type of encaged, and that you've been... What a lack of forgiveness does, it cages you up and makes you useless. It takes your power away. Give yourself over to the Lord. Give it to over completely and totally. And that's what this church does. And there's a response. They give. And they say, of course we want to give. But how does that happen? It's because of the fact they gave themselves first over to the Lord. When I see people struggling, and when people talk about giving, and I've been there in the past before I ever came here, I struggled a little bit with my giving. It's because I didn't want to give myself over to the Lord. And the reality is, once we give ourselves over to the Lord, when the Lord has all of us, we'll have our possessions too. And then, it's not trying to tell the widow's mite, "Hey, you at least got to give one of the mites." No. She's like, "I don't care. This is what God wants me to do." Macedonian church, they're saying, "Hey, you're giving too much. This is going to hurt you too much." You're like, "I'm giving to the Lord." First Chronicles 29:9 says it this way. "Then the people rejoice for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David also rejoiced with great joy." There's great rejoicing when people give of their heart first. It's something that's done willingly. In a few months, probably about 6 weeks, we're going to have missions conference. Each year at missions conference, we have faith promise. We pray and say, "God, what would you have me to do this upcoming year when it comes to world evangelism?" And like I said, in the past, the Lord has always blessed. We've always taken on new missionaries to support a number of missionaries. It's great. But I always tell you, give your heart first. Give yourself. And then let the Lord lead and guide you. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, you can take your Bible there. But it talks about your giving and how it should be done. And this is the Sermon on the Mount. And this is where we're going to actually be spending in Matthew chapter 5 for a number of weeks on Wednesday night. Blessed is this, blessed is that in chapter 5. But Matthew chapter 6 talks about giving your alms. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So what the passage is saying there, make sure you're giving for the right reasons. If you're giving to make yourself known by men, you're not going to receive the blessing or receive the reward. I've had people say, hey, I'm willing to do this for the church if you recognize me, and tell people that I gave. They weren't church members, but they were somebody but visitor church, or they knew that there was a need. I'll help meet that need if you name it after me, or if you just recognize that I did this. And I said, and I told them a passage of scripture there. I says, if you're going to give something because the Lord lays it upon your heart, I want you to be blessed. And there's so much greater blessing than having the recognition of men. Because he says, you're going to have your reward when you recognize the men. He says, but when your Father is one that knoweth, the Father can reward thee. He rewards you openly. Last but not least, everyone, every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. This next phrase, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Makes God smile when we give, when we give cheerfully. So tonight, and this is an amazing thought, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Most people would look at you and say, that's crazy. I would much rather get something than have to give something. And the Lord's saying, Paul showed that as an example. The widow showed that example. The Macedonian church showed that as an example. He says, I've learned that God's going to bless more when I learn to give than I receive. And I can honestly say in my life, that's been true. And I'm not bragging about any of my giving at all, because I want to be rewarded of God. But I know there was a time in my life where I didn't give like I should have. And I know that God had to deal with me and work in my heart. And God had to bring some things up to happen in my life to show me my need. And when he showed me my need, the Lord helped me with that. And I've never had a problem with my tithing or my giving again, because I want to make sure the Lord's going to bless. That's what I desire. And I still ask him at times, Lord, what exactly that you want me to do? Because in the giving and in different ways and how you do different things. So what is it that you want me to do when it comes to missions? What is it that you want me to do when it comes to offerings? What is it that you want me to do in investing into the church, into the future and things like that? But I learned that when I was living for myself, and I can honestly say, when me and my wife came here a number of years ago, we were making a lot more money then. And when we came here, we took a lot less money, and the Lord's blessed us so much more than when we were making more. Yeah, how does that happen? It's God's math. It's not my math. Right. So if you give yourself over to him, he'll take care of you. Amen. Now, once again, I'm not saying a church shouldn't help and church shouldn't take care of. That's found in the Bible. But at the same time, you don't do it for monetary reasons. When we give, we don't do it because we want somebody to return back to us. You don't give someone a Christmas gift thinking, oh, if I give them a Christmas gift, and sometimes we feel like that, oh, they gave me something, I need to give them something. Out of a heart, if someone gives you something, that's because they want to. They appreciate you. They love you. Not saying thank you is nice, but there's no need to return on that gift. They did it because that's what they felt led to do. So I do want you to encourage you tonight. And I learned it. I learned it the hard way sometimes. It is so much better to give than to receive. You're more blessed that way. And once again, the money is something that's found in the Bible. We hear about it all the time. But as Paul was saying, I'm not doing this because I saw that person dressed that way and that's what I wanted. Or I saw their silver and I saw their gold. I really want that. He says, no, I did this work on my own. I took care of myself. Not only did I take care of myself, I took care of people in the church that had needs. That wasn't even really my responsibility. I was the visiting, traveling preacher. You guys should have done that. But I helped there too because that was necessary. God led me to do that. And my final point is, and he says to this group, and I find it interesting. He says, this group of pastors, last thing they hear him physically say in a message for him, I'm sorry he said goodbye. They heard him as they prayed together. He says, this is a lesson you'll learn. It's more blessed to give than receive. And it goes along with their theme for this year. There are things that we're going to look at, and God says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and goes through all those things. Blessed is he, or happy is he, if he do those, like we talked about serving. Next week, if I get enough preparation time, we're going to start on the Beatitudes. Blessed is, and there is the more those that mourn, that hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's the same thing. God says, this is the type of person I can bless, and that's what I want to be. I want to be that type of person God can bless. It's more important than all the other things the world has to offer. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. And Lord, I am thankful that you lay it upon people's hearts to give. Thankful for the giving spirit in our church. There has been numerous people over the years that have been kind and generous to my own family, and not only my own family, but also to other people. And I know many times those things go unnoticed or unknown because that's the way it's supposed to be. But Lord, we see that you bless in that way. And thankful for that. And God, I pray that we would learn the lesson that Paul had learned and he was trying to teach. That we would learn the lesson that the widow learned, that the Lord used as an example. That we would learn the lesson that the Macedonian churches learned, that they were giving to a church that was struggling. Even though they were struggling, they still... Lord, it's an amazing thing that once you learn it, you understand it. It is more blessed to give than receive. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Teach us this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen.